Hello and welcome to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. Happy Monday. As always, my name is Søren Otto. Today it is our macro and FX talk, and that means I'm joined by you, Charu Chanana from Singapore. Hi Charu, how are you doing?
Happy Monday, Søren. I'm very well, thank you. And hope you've also had some good time over the weekend.
Definitely, and I hope the same for you. I can understand that today has been a pretty crazy start to the week when you're working in macro and FX, especially due to movements in Japan, and we're going to touch upon that a little bit later. I think, as always, a lot to talk about, although it is still one of the weeks where the earnings season is obviously also grasping a lot of investor and traders' attention, but that doesn't matter, or that doesn't mean that there's nothing to talk about on the macro scene. Today we're going to talk about some U.S. data last week and what that means in relation to the FOMC meeting this week. Then, of course, we're going to touch upon the Bank of Japan and the Japanese yen and what happened there. And then we're going to talk a little bit about FX trends sort of across the board. We have a lot of macro figures coming out, so I'm sure we're going to touch upon that in that spiel. But Charu, I think maybe we just start in the U.S., because as I mentioned, we had a lot of data coming out last week, and I guess the overall vibe from that data was that it's still going pretty well in the U.S., and that obviously leads to an interesting discussion about when the Federal Reserve will meet at the FOMC meeting this week, because is it just going to be the same thing that we've said the last 4 months, that we expect rate cuts and then we expect less rate cuts when there's been a Fed meeting? Or what's your take on it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So last few weeks, everywhere around, people must have read or listened into things talking about this reflation themes. Reflation really means that, you know, inflation's coming back. So we've had three consecutive months of inflation coming back above expectations in the US. That has really sparked that debate around, when do we get the first Fed rate cut and what is the magnitude of rate cuts do we get this year, right? So coming from January, where the first rate cut was actually expected in March, and there were about 150 basis points of rate cuts expected this year, the markets have moved quite a bit in a hawkish manner to remove these expectations of Fed rate cuts. And that's because of those inflation overshoots. So we had a similar narrative coming out last week as well from that GDP data, where the headline growth really softened, but it wasn't extremely soft to raise any recession concerns at this point. But what was more notable in that release was the PCE index that comes out along with the quarterly growth number as well. So that is the quarterly PCE number. And that was quite a bit higher than expected. And, that indicated that price pressures are still running quite high. Although some of these fears were relieved on Friday when we got the March PCE number, which was pretty much in line with expectations. Now the big question is that this whole narrative that we've been hearing from the Fed, particularly from Chair Powell, he's been trying to make a case for rate cuts, right? I mean, he's pivoted back in October, November last year, and still maintaining a data-dependent approach, but kind of saying that, yes, the next move will be a rate cut and not a rate hike. Now, will he make a pivot on that pivot this time? I think that's the big focus, because we've heard some comments, whether it is from one of the Fed members, Williams, even Goolsbee. I think they are the two people who have really brought a rate hike back on the table. But we haven't heard something like that from Chair Powell himself yet. So I think that remains the big focus. Certainly, markets, like I was saying, have well priced that in. So even if Chair Powell kind of maintains a data-dependent approach, is that enough to surprise hawkish? I would think no. The bar to surprise hawkish from the Federal Reserve side is very, very high at this point because of the market pricing itself. So I think that's really an important point. So when we hear from the Fed, I think I'll really be watching this distinction between the two things, whether Powell stays data dependent and he continues to talk about the fact that, yes, we are watching inflation overshooting and we will be patient on rate cuts. This is a very moderate statement now, compared to the fact that whether he really brings rate hikes back to the table. Now, that is a hawkish surprise or pivot on the pivot, as I said, right? I think these two statements are going to have very different reactions from the market. So I think that's really important to why we don't get a dot plot this month, by the way. So this meeting is only about focusing on what Chair Powell has to say. And the other thing that we need to watch for is some plans around that tapering of quantitative tightening that's been going on. Now, do we get a firmer indication that it will begin in June or July or September? So I think that will be a big focus point as well. So a lot of messages really to take away from that meeting. So I think, yes, that markets will really be keen to see what we get there.
Another thing that markets are paying close attention to, at least if you're looking at FX or if you are sort of an international equity trader, is what's going on in Japan right now. Because we have seen, we also talked a fair bit about this intervention potential. And generally, we've been discussing the Japanese yen for quite a significant length this year. But we've seen some pretty drastic moves today in the yen. Mm. Could you lay out sort of the land of what's happened and what you see is going to happen from here?
Totally. So much drama is going on out there, Soren, that it's completely more important than what happens at the Fed, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
But certainly, no, I mean, Fed really still drives where the yen goes. So, I mean, let me take a step back and take you back to last Friday when we had that Bank of Japan meeting. The meeting outcome was clearly dovish. In fact, I gave a comment to Bloomberg that day and they seemed to love it and they still seem to be using it in their articles. The fact that, you know, I said that the Bank of Japan can actually surprise dovish to even the most dovish expectation on the street. So that's what they did on Friday. It was really not a lot that was expected out of them. You know, there was no rate hike expected. There has been significant weakening of the yen in the run up to that meeting. So the only thing that was expected is, one, they would have some strong language around FX and say, yes, we are watching FX moves. I mean, that was really the only expectation. Or the other expectation was that, yeah, they could tweak some bond buying. And that is an expectation that they raised themselves. So just the night before the Bank of Japan announcement, there was a local press article. You know, usually whenever the Bank of Japan has to make a tweak, we've seen that trend over the last few months with the March rate hike as well, that they actually kind of let it out through the local media agencies beforehand to kind of cushion the impact. So there was a local media article that said that, yes, Bank of Japan is looking to tweak the bond buying the amount and stuff. So they raised the expectation on that. And even still, they under-delivered on that. There was a tweak to bond buying. They kind of removed a reference to the amount of bond buying that they have been doing. So they've been doing about 6 trillion yen per month. They just removed that amount, but the whole emphasis of the statement shifted to the fact that the BOJ will still continue to buy Japanese government bonds. They will still continue to buy corporate bonds in line with what was decided at the March policy meeting. So whether or not they see the amount anymore, I mean, they are still maintaining a very, very accommodative policy. They did not give out any details on the new amount or the timing as to when they plan to, tweak this. So, I mean, whatever expectation there was around QT or even QE being tapered, I think even that was put to rest. So that's how dovishly the Bank of Japan really surprised on Friday. The other thing worth noting here is that despite the weakness that we've been seeing in the Japanese yen up until Friday, comments from the FX ministers there, you know, MOF or the FX chief, in my view, they started to get less and less aggressive, less and less frequent as well. So there seemed to be little urgency to kind of make any interventions. Usually there will be a lot of, you know, verbal interventions every time dollar yen moves up a little bit. But we saw that frequency going down as well last week. So things played out pretty much as we expected. So on Friday, in my article on Bank of Japan, I did write that the key level to watch would be around 158 plus and right up to the 160 level, because we have heard some comments previously from Japan's FX chief saying that they would watch for a 10 yen move in a month as a threshold for intervention. So that gave room for dollar yen to really move up from where it was, 155, 156, to right up to 158 plus on Friday. And then it hit 160 this morning in Asia. Now, that for me was a sign that, you know, this is where intervention should come, potentially. And then we did in the Asian hours today actually saw a sharp acceleration in the Japanese yen. Now, the confounding thing here is that Japan is actually on a holiday today. So are the officials, you know, being clever enough, staying awake and staying in the market while the rest of the market is actually on a holiday? So the liquidity is quite thin. So I think that's an interesting move because it gives them more bang for their buck. So I think, I mean, it could have been an official intervention. It does seem like so because the move was significant. We moved all the way down from that 160 level. Or the intervention happened at, say, 158 plus. We moved all the way down to 155. A lot of that move has faded now, but I mean, the extent of the move does signal that it was an official intervention. But we still have to wait for the official data from the Ministry of Finance later on to kind of confirm that. But yeah, the big question now that is coming our way is where does the yen go from here, right? So, I mean, I would say that the risk reward on dollar yen is still tilted towards the upside. So more weakening of the yen, especially with that FOMC meeting this week, where we could see potentially a tone down of that rate cut message, or we could potentially see, QT tapering talks, like I said, right? So all that still means that the differential between the Fed's hawkishness and the Bank of Japan's dovishness, as I highlighted, you know, from their latest meeting from Friday, that still continues to widen. So any intervention, I think markets remain ready to kind of fade that and continue to weaken the yen. And that happens until the fundamental drivers change, until the US data starts to weaken, unless we get a better conviction on Fed's rate cuts or the Bank of Japan's rate hikes. And both of them are looking quite unlikely to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, and I guess it'll also be interesting just to see playing out what happens tomorrow when the Japanese market opens from holiday then. But I'm sure that's something that on a broad scale, we're going to track this, of course, because it is relevant and it is important. Let's move on to some of the other currencies and let's just stay in the ballpark and talk about the US dollar, because you mentioned also this idea that the sort of the idea around yen won't change until we see other US data start changing to the worse or at least weaken. We have quite a bit of macro data coming out of the US this week. What's your expectations for the US dollar?
Right. So, I mean, just taking some inspiration from what happened last week, we saw this, the price shock that I talked about from that GDP report, and we saw aggressive yen weakness as well. But besides all of that, the dollar actually still ended the week lower, marginally so, but it ended the week lower. So to me, it still looks like that the upside for the dollar is quite limited from here. And what was very interesting is the CFTC, the COT report, which shows a speculator positioning in commodities and FX as well. So I included a chart from that in my weekly FX week's chart book. I do that every Monday. So today's chart book, if you look at that, you look at the positioning chart, it is so heavily skewed towards the dollar. So we've seen this data, which was for the week of 23rd April. There, the dollar longs have extended by a solid 27% again in this latest week. They are the highest since 2018. And every other currency that we have, you know, the major currencies that we have there, except for Mexican peso, everything else is a net short in the speculator positioning. So euro has been a net long for quite some time since September 2022. That flipped to a net short as well as more shorts were added. Same for sterling. We saw it flip to a net short for the first time since November 2023. And we've seen continuing increase in the short positions in the Japanese yen, in the Swiss franc as well. So very, very skewed picture there. Kind of shows that dollar is the only currency to stay long on. Maybe a little bit, the high yielders are still doing okay, but speculators are extremely long dollars here. So what happens this week? I would think that the positioning is so extreme that we need a major hawkish surprise to really drive the dollar higher from here. Now, can the Fed deliver that? I think we really need to watch that. Like I said, the bar for them is really high because the market has repriced the reflation theme so aggressively already that a simple data-dependent message will likely not be enough to send some hawkish vibes to the market. We also get the non-farm payrolls this week. Certainly, that's very important as well. But the consensus estimates there, they are also hinting towards a slowdown. So the headline jobs growth number, that is expected to slow down to 250,000 from 300,000, 303,000 last month. Now, the fact here is that this data has surprised to the upside for many, many months now. So, if we do beat that 250,000, there could be a risk of some dollar upside from there. But what is also common is that NFP data is extremely prone to downward revisions in consecutive months. So I do think that this headline number particularly has less relevance for the markets now because of the volatility around it. What is more important, I think that is the wages part of this release. They have relatively more signal value at this point, but consensus is also looking at wages likely to cool from here. So, even if the Fed remains data dependent on, Wednesday when we hear from Chair Powell, there won't be a lot of room for the dollar to rally, I think, because of this, a likely downside coming from the jobs data. And so I would think that the dollar continues, a little bit sideways to lower in this week as well.
All right. So, a lot to focus on the U.S. side. And then if we then go to the Eurozone, We also have inflation numbers coming out here. What's your expectation for the euro and maybe also for the Swiss franc?
Yeah, I think that's going to be some really important figures today and tomorrow as we get German CPI today and then the euro area number for CPI tomorrow and the Swiss CPI, yes, as well later on in the week. Very, very important because both for the ECB and the Swiss National Bank, I think a June rate cut is not fully priced in for the market. So if we do see that CPI coming in softer than expected, we could have room here to kind of price that in a little bit more, which means downside risks for both the euro as well as the Swiss franc. But the bigger risk I would think here is what happens if the Eurozone CPI, particularly, I think if that surprises to the upside. We've seen that in a lot of places. Australia, for example, we had the quarterly CPI out last week and we saw an upside surprise there, it was, I think, quite a surprise to see Australia's CPI running higher. And actually now the market is not looking at the RBA to start its rate cut cycle this year. They have pushed out all rate cut expectations. In fact, I think even a rate hike is on the table from the RBA, which may be a low probability thing, but certainly this reflation theme is something that is spreading beyond the US. Australia, like I said, is one example. But even in the Eurozone, if you see the PMI numbers that came out earlier this month, there is a sense that the services PMIs could create that, the upside that we saw there, that could create that pressure on wages, which could filter through to CPI. So we need to kind of really watch for that risk, because that would be a huge credibility risk for the ECB that has been flagging a June rate cut quite strongly. So I think this Eurozone numbers is particularly important. And from the perspective of sterling, maybe I could add that as well. I think sterling has a very clear week. There's no data, local data that is due coming out from the UK. And like I said, you know, and I'm not expecting a strong US dollar trend as well. So what does the sterling watch? Sterling is actually very highly correlated with the equity sentiment. And, you know, given that we are in these heavy earnings week last week, and then this week again, we have more tech earnings due from Apple, from Amazon. I think what happens in the US equity markets is really going to be a critical driver for sterling from here.
Yeah, and not too long ago, Charu, we did a talk about these intervention ideas in Asia, and we touched upon Japan, and we also talked upon about China. What's the status in China, also in relation of the to what is happening in Japan?
So, I mean, I would like, you know, like we discussed on that thematic episode, Soren, I think the case for a large one-time devaluation of the yuan is pretty limited, because I am not sure the Chinese authorities want to add to their headwinds right now. You know, that could create capital outflow risk, financial stability risks, and the likes. The controlled devaluation that we talked about, that's still ongoing. We are seeing those USD CNY midpoint fixings still above 710 every day, which means the Chinese authorities are okay for the yuan to continue to weaken slightly every day. The big swing factor here really is what happens with the Japanese yen, right? We talked about their competitive exports. And with this intervention in, or likely intervention, I should say, in the Japanese yen today, I would think that reduces the immediate need for the Chinese authorities as well to come in and devalue the yuan. So if yen is a little bit stronger, then I think Chinese yuan is in a little bit better place as well. And probably they can avoid that one-time large devaluation, but it's still a risk that we should continue to watch. I think that is going to be, if it was to happen, it's going to be more destabilizing for the markets than the effect that we've seen from this intervention in the Japanese yen.
All right, Charu, thank you so much. So in conclusion, I guess the two main things to focus on this week from a macro FX perspective would be the FOMC meeting in the US, and of course also the developments in Japan revolving around the Japanese yen and this potential intervention from the Bank of Japan. But thank you so much, Charu. It's always a pleasure getting a little bit of a highlight reel of the coming week and the past week from you. I wish you a very, very good week, and I can understand that you guys have a bank holiday on Wednesday, contrary to us here in Denmark, so hope that will be a nice day off.
Yes, absolutely. A midweek holiday is always good.
That is always great. And to all of you out there also, if you are off Wednesday, I hope that'll be great, and apart from that, I hope you will have a great trading week as well. But on behalf of Charu Chanana, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Soren Otto. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back anytime soon. And until then, happy trading.